Now, my guests naturally are in the supernatural, Wesley and Stacy Campbell. And Stacy, when you were very young, you had really no paradigm of God, really. You didn't understand anything about God, but yet He came to you. Tell me about that.
I mean, long before I had, you know, we went to church on Sundays occasionally, but I had a dream where Jesus appeared to me, where Yeshua actually appeared to me. And when He did, He spoke audibly to me. I was only, say, probably 5 years old, 6 years old, very, very young. And He audibly spoke to me. And He said these words, "Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again." And the emphasis was on He was coming again. And from that moment on, I knew things that I didn't know before. I had what you would call like an impartation of the fear of the Lord. I always knew what was right. I always knew what was wrong. I was the white sheep in my family, I always say. And it was like an extraordinary thing that led me initially into the knowledge of God, into a pursuit of God that has never left me to this day.
And Wesley, before the two of you got married, you were involved in what denomination?
It was called the Plymouth Brethren.
And I understand you didn't like musical instruments.
They didn't.
They didn't like they musical didn't. Instruments. The women wore hats.
Yeah, had doilies, you know, lace Mantis. Things.
Yeah,
it was really boring. It was
boring,
really, really
and
hard.
Dry.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, Stacy, why did you marry into such a boring, dry...
It was because I was always looking for God. From that one dream, I was searching for God, and nobody ever told me about God. I remember in grade 8, you know, being taught evolution, and I stuck my hand up and said, "I thought God created the world." And he said, "Well, God was the initiator of the Big Bang, and you know, but we're left to find our own way." So nobody talked to me about God. Here I was searching for Him, and nobody told me anything. So Wesley...
I was the first one.
He was the first one, almost. And he was telling me all about God, so I just followed him to church. It was my first real Bible-believing church experience, and so I believed everything they taught me.
And you began to pray the Bible. What do you mean by that?
Well, when I was 16 years old, because I'd never read the Bible, I didn't know anything about it, I was the dumbest one in church. And so I was actually usually, I was pretty good at school, so it was embarrassing to me when they would say, "Okay, open your Bibles to the book of Philippians." And I remember the first time I looked at the person next to me and said, "Oh, what page is it on?" I was so biblically illiterate. So I thought, well, I'm going to get a head start. I'm going to go home and read the book of Philippians. And so when I went to do it, I couldn't understand a word it said because, you know, the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God. So in order to understand it, I would have to pray it really, really slowly. And I began
back to God.
Yeah, I just began the ancient, almost just ancient practice of meditating on the law of God from Jewish days, Joshua 1:8. I began it as a 16-year-old, biblically illiterate, you know, in an alcoholic home where all my brothers and sisters, five brothers and a twin sister, were on drugs, almost all of them. And in that context, I learned how to pray the Bible, and eventually all the words of the Bible lead you to the author of the words.
And all of the supernatural things that occurred to you as a result of this ancient way of praying that most Christians have never even heard of. Mm-hmm. And you'll find out more about this. But Stacy, tell me about the time that God told you to marry Wesley.
I had my most phenomenal experiences in my times of private prayer. I prayed every single day, and I was at university, second, third year university.
Vancouver, British Columbia.
And I was studying French and German, and I remember, you know, Wesley was on the mission field in Nigeria, and I was thinking, you know, we've been going out now for 3.5 years, but I don't think, like, I want to be a career person. He wants to be a pastor in this little church, and we're not going anywhere, you know? So I had determined that we'd just break up. And I was praying the Bible, Isaiah chapter 40, and suddenly, with my head covering on, all by myself in my dormitory room.
In a university dorm.
And as I began to pray Isaiah chapter 40, about how God was, you know, Lord of the nations, I the whole room began to light up with its golden glow. And I went, you know, I was not alone. And I looked down at my Bible. The words were almost leaping off the page, how the nations were as nothing before Him. And suddenly I closed my eyes, and tears were falling on my Bible. And suddenly I had an out-of-body experience. I don't know how to describe it other than that. My spirit left my body. I knew I was with the Lord. We were flying around the nations of the world. We'd zero in on nations, zero in on places that were even at war at the time, and zoom up and go to another continent, and I could see the faces of people in black faces and then Asian faces, and then we'd zoom back up, and then suddenly, and my spirit went back in my body. I'm looking at my Bible, tears are pouring onto my Bible, and I hear the audible voice of God. This was with my head covering on and everything. And the Lord said to me, said, I am Lord of the nations, and I am Lord of you, and I want you to marry Wesley.
Well, that's one of the more interesting stories that I've heard.
Yeah.
But tell me about the first time you formally saw someone prophesy.
Well, I didn't believe it because I was, from this conservative denomination. We started the doctrine of cessationism, that all the supernatural things in the Bible no longer happen.
Darby and
I'm glad I never heard of that.
And I remember Wesley was much more open than me to supernatural things, and I kind of believed that people that believed in supernatural things were emotional at best or demon-possessed at worst, and so I kind of, whatever. And Wesley invited these people to our Baptist church that moved in the gift of prophecy, but they were very calm. And they were prophesying over a person, and as they began to prophesy over him, the man began to cry. So I'm thinking, well, I knew this man really well. I'd never seen him cry. So I thought, something's here, and the room began to fill with his presence. And suddenly, my leg begins to shake. And I put my hand on my leg to stop it, and the other leg begins to shake like this.
Had this ever happened before?
Never happened before. And so I put my hands on both legs, and my whole body begins to bounce. It's impossible.
Off the chair.
About a foot off the chair, 6 inches to a foot. Bang, bang, bang. I was very demonstrative, very loud. I was so embarrassed. I looked down at my stomach, and it's moving like this. I had my eyes open. It starts to move, and I could feel this wind coming up my windpipe, and I clenched my teeth to stop this wind from bursting out of my mouth. And when I did, my cheeks just began, So I put my hand over my mouth, and the wind blew my hand off my mouth, and I began speaking in another language, speaking in tongues at the top of my lungs, shaking like this violently. Nobody had even prayed for me. It was in a Baptist church.
They're praying for him over there.
I'd gone to Baptist seminary after university. I'd taught all of this. I taught didn't exist, and I'm shocked. And yet, inside, I felt completely peaceful. I felt the presence of God. I knew that this man was being healed of deep issues. My whole mind just went warp factor three, It was shocking to me, of all people.
And shortly thereafter, you started prophesying over people.
It was like I could just know things. Like I'd always known things since my initial visitation as a child, but I kind of didn't know that everybody didn't know those things. But after this experience happened to me, actually, my body would shake in certain ways.
Involuntarily.
And scriptures would come to mind. And I actually learned how to prophesy through the manifestations. And the combination of the word that I'd been taught deeply through the Plymouth Brethren Church, which I love that. I love my history there. And through manifestations, I learned how to prophesy over people. I could feel things. I could...
Tell me about the prophecy we're going to look at that occurred in Las Vegas.
It works anywhere. I was out on the streets. I was with a group, and we were ministering, and they wanted to kind of film how the supernatural works anywhere, even out on the streets. So we're going out on the streets, and this lady said, there's a man that just got out of prison. Could you come pray for him? And he speaks Spanish. And I said, well, I need an interpreter. So this other lady came, and they're talking to this man. And I said, would you mind if I prayed for you? And I began to pray for him. And every single time, I'm just so amazed at the love of God. This man was sentenced to 20 years in prison. He spent 13 years in prison. And
He got out that day.
And he was just wandering the streets, just didn't know really where to go. And the Lord finds him through this group of believers, And I closed my eyes and I prayed for him. Suddenly I could see very specific details, when he was 2 years old.
Well, let's take a look at that right now.
And he's going to heal you of those things that happened to you as a little boy.
Y él te va a sanar todas las cosas que tú sufriste cuando eras un pequeño niño.
That turned you into an angry young man.
Que te volvió a ser un hombre enojón.
And that made you feel like that you were the only one in the world you had to protect yourself.
Y tú sentiste en un momento que tú eras el único hombre en el mundo y que tú te tenías que proteger por ti mismo.
And God says, you don't have to protect yourself.
Y Dios dice, tú no te tienes que proteger a ti mismo.
He will protect you.
Dios te va a proteger.
And he has been your deliverer.
Y él te va a proteger.
And he will deliver you again.
Y él te va a librar de nuevo.
But he has such a destiny for your life.
Pero él tiene un destino para tu vida.
And he's going to turn you.
Y te va a volver.
And you are going to bring justice to many people.
Y tú vas a traer justicia a muchísima gente.
And he loves you so much.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Wesley and Stacy Campbell. And ever since Stacy was activated to prophesy, she's gone on to prophesy to over 25,000 different people. And like the one we just saw, the man that just got out of prison, how did he react afterwards?
Well, he got saved right there on the streets. And then a Spanish pastor was right there and took him
and took him
to his church.
He was weeping.
He was so different. His whole countenance changed. He was looking for God. Actually, the truth is God was looking for him.
But tell me about the time you prophesied to Wesley.
Oh, well, Wesley, we would have these prayer meetings when the Holy Spirit first fell, and God would give us like DNA, things, callings that he wanted us to do, and one of them was prayer. Now, Wesley didn't like praying. He was like the ultimate evangelist. He thought God, you know, knew everything he was going to do, so we just needed to do it. He hated prayer.
Well, actually, a lot of pragmatic people, because they don't see results, are prayerless. So tell me about the prophecy.
So we began to prophesy over him, not just me, but the other pastors of the church, and saying, Wesley, and a really strong exhortation to pray.
With
if you do not pray.
Manifestations of kicking and chopping.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Kicking and chopping?
Her feet would kick, you bad. And she was going like this.
I didn't say you bad.
No, well.
She looked so conservative, a nice conservative Canadian.
No, they were kicking and, you know, there
chopping.
Were these manifestations which they would interpret by the feelings, like angry feelings. And so I knew God was like really upset with me. Like,
so what did you say to him? Well, what did God say to him?
He said, if you do not pray, God will take this ministry from you, like this piece of paper from your hands. That was David Roos, right? The other pastor. And went over and grabbed the paper from his hands and crumpled it up like this and threw it on the floor.
And she says, I have been in the closet waiting for you, but you did not come. You did not come. And
That was the Lord speaking.
And so she just, it was a major rebuke.
Mm-hmm. Well, making a long story short, you decided that was from God.
I thought, if I don't learn to pray, God's going to kill me.
Did you really believe that?
No. But I mean, I knew I was in big trouble. I was in big trouble. So I went on a massive pursuit. Traveled in the nations, went to hear Mike Bickle. I went on a pursuit to learn how to pray.
And what, I mean, obviously God wanted something with you, but then this book, Praying the Bible, because I told you before we went on the air, I come from a Jewish background, both my parents are Jewish, and I always would go to the Orthodox synagogue, take the prayer book, which was mostly scripture, and pray it out loud.
Exactly.
Then, the moment I became a believer in Jesus as the Messiah, I started praying to myself.
What's
wrong with me? Am I sugar? Am I crazy?
That's what's wrong. And for activist people, a lot of people, they love God so much, and they want to talk to God. They try to pray. Their mind wanders. They can't concentrate. So simple. It was all in the Bible all along. Joshua 1:8. Meditate on the law, the scriptures, direction to God, day and night, frequency, every day. And the whole concept of meditation, Jewish meditation, was out loud recitation with a text, with a scripture. And so I learned, because I couldn't focus at all. I always say about men and boys, you know, learn to pray out loud. Why? So that you'll know when you've stopped. In other words, most people, when they're praying in their head, they don't even know if they're actually doing it. Mm-hmm. So I tell people, take a Bible text, because that's the only way you can go out loud, because you have to have a text. It's like the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name. Then when they do it out loud, they actually have a duration. And they're, I will say this.
But it's beyond that. Yeah. The spoken word has power.
Totally.
It's tangible.
Totally.
It's a force. And we're losing this when we read the Bible to ourselves.
Exactly.
Or when we pray even to ourselves.
In fact, she was just studying the other day in a book about the book of the Revelation, and we found out that no one ever even read books out loud in the ancient world. They said Julius Caesar was one of the novelties because he read out loud. No one read books to themselves. They always read them out loud. Mm-hmm. All books read out loud.
But here in the West,
we read in our head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's about time that things change. Mm-hmm. Are you tired of praying and not having God answer your prayers? There's nothing more exciting than to have God answer your prayers. What are people saying about your book?
Well, they love that book. People say it's so easy to read, but it shows them how every person, a child to an 84-year-old, can actually connect with God through praying scriptures out loud.
Are you excited about praying right now?
Totally. All the time, especially right now.
And you had to be rebuked.
I did.
I'll tell you what, we'll be back right after this and we'll find out about the miracle healings that are happening with Stacy. Don't go away.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Wesley and Stacy Campbell. And what would happen if wherever you go, people prophesy and they predict over you and they say, God says you're going to the healing ministry and everyone you pray for, no one gets healed. You'd be a little concerned over that. That's what happened to Stacy Campbell. But things changed. When did they change?
Well, I had about 7 years of people prophesying different countries that I would be used to heal the sick, and it never happened. I even prayed for people, and they told me afterwards they got worse.
But it could be worse. They could have died.
I would like to check. Yeah. You know, so I went up to Baffin Island with the Eskimos.
In northern Canada.
In northern Canada, on Baffin Island, and I was doing a conference amongst the Eskimos. And this one apostolic father there said the Lord told him to pray for me, laid hands on me, and get all the Eskimo elders to lay hands on me and pray for me and ordain me in the spirit. So they all came around me, laid hands on me, prayed for me, and they only spoke Inuktitut. So they're just, yes, it was really wild.
That's Greek to me.
And so when they did that, when I got up off of that experience, it was like, you know, in the Bible they said they laid hands on them, stirred up the gifts were in them. It was like an ancient anointing, and I stood up, and for the first time in my life, I felt the presence of God there to heal the sick. And I walked over to the prayer line, and I stood in front of this long-haired gray Eskimo lady, and I said, are you sick anywhere? And she said, yes, my knees, and I hadn't seen her walk, but she said, I'm so arthritic, I can barely walk. She was just standing there. She hobbled up to the prayer line. So I laid hands on her, and she just started laughing, and she fell backwards straight on the floor, and she was laughing there. And she said, my knees are hot, my knees are hot. Well, she got up. Well, I was excited because the first time I've ever had in my life that something actually happened when I prayed for sick people.
I understand completely. You know why I understand completely? Same thing happened to me. I prayed for thousands of people, I believe, not exaggerating, with no one getting healed. Mm-hmm. But I stuck with it. And
exactly.
God honored that. So she was the first one you prayed for.
She came back that evening. I ran over to her. I said, how are you? She said, I'm healed. In Inuktitut. I said, come up here and tell your testimony. So the translator's translating, and she said, I could hardly walk. I was so crippled with arthritis. I could hardly move. She said, but after they prayed for me, I was completely healed, and I walked a mile up Nipple Hill. And I said, I couldn't understand the translator. Up Nipple Hill, he said, yes, and anyway, the Eskimos, they're very natural. So there's this hill in town. I saw it later. It just goes straight up and down. Anyway,
she walked up that straight up and down hill.
So that's how I remember my first healing.
Her knees did not hurt.
Her knees did not
hurt. For the first time.
It was a mile.
Real quick, that woman that was schizophrenic in Denmark.
Holland. She came walking up to me after, and she said, she stuck her finger in my face and said, I am one, I am one. I said, hi, I'm Stacy. You know, I didn't know what she was talking about. She says, you don't understand. Last time you were in Holland, you prayed for a prophetic impartation. She said, I walked out of that room, of the conference room where there was a couple thousand people, and I saw
into another room.
Into another room in the conference facility. And she said, when I walked in there, I saw a visible Jesus. She said, I saw him with my eyes. And she said, when he opened his arms and beckoned me to come. And she said, she'd never had prophetic revelation. I'd prayed a prophetic impartation. She walks in the room and she sees Jesus. And
like within 10 minutes.
When she gets close to him, she says, he opened his arms. He put her arms around her. And she said, it felt like he put me right inside his body. And she said, when he opened his arms and set me back on the floor, I was completely healed. She said, I had been fractured into over 100 personalities. I lived 18 of them. I changed my clothes, I changed my voice, I changed my hair, I changed my makeup.
She was a schizophrenic.
Totally full on. And she said, from that day, I have been completely healed. And now I see her every time I go to Holland. She comes to all my meetings and tells me again.
There is an awesome, awesome presence of God in the studio mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah.
I can tell you that someone's neck has just been healed.
Wow.
Stacey, hallelujah.
Will you start praying for people? I want to see, there's mm-hmm. a fountain coming mm-hmm. out of you right now. Mm.
Father, I just pray, Lord, I thank you that you love the world.
Yeah.
Lord, that you're longing for everyone to come to you and have the revelation of your Son. And I pray, God, that right now, even those people, I see a woman, I see a picture of a woman who feels actually that God doesn't love her, feels because everything in your life has gone against you. I see you in a desperate situation, financial crisis, everything falling apart all around you. And your biggest thing is you hope God loves you, but you've prayed over and over again and nothing's happened. Well, I want to tell you, God has heard your prayers and he's going to come to you today. And if you will just bow your knee and ask him into your life, the Bible says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He will come into your life. And I just see him. I see you weeping on the floor. And Father, I pray, God, for the salvation of that woman, Lord, that when she gets up off the floor, Lord, you're not outside of her, you know, where she's desperate looking for you, God. You're inside. Now she'll take you everywhere she goes and her whole life will be changed. Lead her, God. And I ask, God, for everyone that's looking for you. Father, I pray, Lord, I ask God for the impartation of dreams, visions, the audible voice of God that I've heard over and over again, Lord, pictures, Lord, the feelings of God, of the love of God, the kindness of God that will lead them to repentance, that will lead them to your Son. I ask God that you would give that to them right now as they're listening. Thank you, God. Thank you in Jesus' name.
Well, there's such peace. Wesley, what are you sensing?
Same, yeah. Just
What are you sensing? Are you sensing that peace? If for some reason you're not, you have to open your spirit up to the God of peace. The way you open your spirit up is a supernatural thing that God does himself. He does it for you. All you have to do is open yourself up and tell God you're sorry for the sins that you've committed and believe that the blood of Jesus washes away all of those sins. And in fact, if you'll pray that in your own words right now, that's exactly what will happen in the invisible world. Every one of us that you've seen on my show, we all started that way. We started with a gift from God of peace. Yeah. And some of you have been saying, I want peace. Well, the only way you're ever going to have peace is to know the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. Mm-hmm. And with your mouth say, I believe Jesus, you died for my sins, and by your blood, my sins are washed clean. And dear Jesus, come inside of me. I don't want to make it alone anymore. Mm. I need your peace. I need your love. I plain need you. I make you my Lord and Savior. I love you, Lord. Tell him how much you love him. Between you and him, this is your moment now.